Imagine waking up in a cramped coffin apartment on the moon, where every breath has a price tag. Welcome to Artemis, humanity's first and only lunar city, a network of 5 interconnected bubbles housing 2,000 permanent residents. Each bubble serves a distinct purpose: Armstrong for tourists and luxury hotels, Aldrin for manufacturing, while Bean, Conrad, and Shepard house the working class who keep this fragile ecosystem functioning. The lunar economy operates on slugs, currency equivalent to the cost of transporting 1 gram from Earth to the moon. This creates a stark social hierarchy between wealthy tourists and the struggling workers who maintain essential services. Jaz Bashara embodies this struggle perfectly. A Saudi-born Muslim who immigrated as a child with her welder father, she works officially as a porter while running a sophisticated smuggling operation on the side. Despite her exceptional intelligence, she remains trapped in poverty after failing an EVA certification exam she can't afford to retake. In Artemis's low gravity and pure oxygen atmosphere, even simple activities require adaptation. Coffee only reaches 61°C, cooking must be reimagined, and fire represents an existential threat. With nowhere to escape, even smoking requires specialized equipment. The city's justice system reflects these constraints. With no formal prison, punishment ranges from steep fines to permanent exile back to Earth. Jaz's life changes when Norwegian businessman Trond Landvik offers her 1 million slugs to sabotage Sanchez Aluminum's harvesters, machines that collect oxygen-rich rocks from the lunar surface. Trond's plan? Disable the harvesters so Sanchez breaches their oxygen contract, allowing him to take over with secretly stockpiled reserves. The promise of financial freedom proves irresistible. Jaz recruits Martin Svoboda, a brilliant Ukrainian engineer, to build a custom electronic device. She borrows welding equipment from her estranged father, disguises herself as a tourist, and uses a hull inspection bot to bypass security. During the operation, Jaz boards a harvester, cuts into its wax reservoir, and installs a pressure valve with a device to short-circuit the battery at midnight. When security confronts her, she disables all 4 harvesters' communications and permanently destroys them. Despite taking a roundabout route back to Artemis, her former friend Dale ultimately catches her. What begins as sabotage escalates when Jaz discovers Trond and his bodyguard murdered in his estate, Artemis's first double homicide. Blood patterns suggest a professional hit connected to her harvester sabotage. Jaz creates an emergency alias and hides in a freezing maintenance nook. Her investigation leads to Jin Chu, a Hong Kong businessman who met Trond before the murder. Disguised as a prostitute, she infiltrates Jin's hotel but narrowly escapes an assassin's knife attack. In Jin's room, she finds a case labeled Zafo containing only a fiber optic cable with unusual caps. Rudy reveals Sanchez Aluminum is owned by O Palacio, Brazil's powerful crime syndicate. When Jin requests a meeting, Jaz arranges it at her father's welding shop. Jin admits selling Zafo information to both Trond and O Palacio. As he begs for the sample back, the assassin enters. Jaz releases neon gas and triggers the fire alarm. As doors seal automatically, she escapes while Jin and the assassin pass out, lunar physics becoming both danger and salvation. Svoboda's analysis reveals Zafo, zero attenuation fiber optic, transmits light without signal loss. Unlike standard fiber optics needing repeaters every 15 kilometers, Zafo transmits data across unlimited distances without degradation, a breakthrough previously thought impossible. The implications are staggering. This technology would revolutionize Earth's entire communication network, worth trillions annually. Every aspect of modern connectivity would transform, from internet infrastructure to military communications. As Svoboda puts it, that's probably murdering money. The conspiracy deepens when Administrator Nugigi reveals herself as a player who allowed O Palacio to track Jaz through surveillance for Artemis's survival. The city operates like a Ponzi scheme, lacking a sustainable export economy. Zafo represents Artemis's salvation with a crucial advantage. It can only be manufactured in lunar gravity, giving the moon's only city a natural monopoly. If O Palacio gains control of Zafo production, they'll effectively own Artemis, controlling its economy and future. With the full picture clear, Jazz formulates a plan to save Artemis from syndicate control. She visits Tron's grieving daughter Lena, who responds when Jazz adjusts Tron's watch to her wrist, revealing the inscription, "The sky is not the limit." Jazz assembles her team at Hartnell's pub. Dale, former friend, Bob Lewis, EVA master, Martin Swoboda, engineer, and her estranged father, master welder. She explains that O Palacio has murdered two people, with trillions at stake. The plan? Destroy the Sanchez smelter by overheating it to 1400 C, melting the containment vessel. This will break their oxygen contract, allowing Lena to step in with her reserves. Each team member provides crucial expertise. Bob grants access, Jazz's father modifies an air shelter, and Swoboda sets up surveillance. These preparations add emotional depth as Jazz reconnects with her father, heals her friendship with Dale, and develops a romance with Swoboda. The mission becomes about saving Artemis and rebuilding relationships Jazz damaged through years of isolation. The smelter explosion succeeds but fills Artemis's air with deadly chloroform gas. With only an hour before mass casualties, Jazz, Dale, and Sanchez rush to release emergency air reserves to flush the poison. Finding everyone unconscious, Jazz retrieves Rudy's master access device and defeats the escaped assassin by cutting off his air supply after a brutal struggle. At life support, they discover insufficient air to cleanse the city. Their only hope lies in Tron's stockpiled oxygen between the bubbles. Jazz takes a tourist hamster ball EVA suit to the surface, but the critical valve won't turn. In a desperate move, Jazz punctures her suit with a pipe for leverage, knowing it means death. As her protection tears, she makes a final push just as the suit fails completely. The vacuum hits instantly, her lungs empty, sunlight burns her skin, and her bodily fluids boil. Jazz survives 3 minutes in vacuum before rescue, proving both human resilience and lunar danger. Jazz awakens in the sick bay with her father beside her. Everyone survived the blackout despite her burns. For reconciliation, she recreates her father's workshop exactly, spending her entire savings of 416,922 slugs, leading to mutual forgiveness. Lene confirms transferring the million slugs to Jazz and purchasing Sanchez aluminum from O Palacio, ensuring Zafo production benefits Artemis rather than the syndicate, securing the city's economic future. The novel concludes with Jazz meeting Administrator Ngugi, having earned a voice in Artemis's future. Her transformation from smuggler to savior complete, Jazz has found something more valuable than wealth, a sense of belonging in the community she saved. Artemis presents humanity's future beyond Earth not as a utopian escape, but as a new frontier where we bring our flaws, ambitions, and capacity for both destruction and heroism. In the harshest environment, our cooperation might build something worth fighting for.